الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا
All right. Straighten the rows, Safidurus for manage. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. میرے محترم دوستو بزرگو، میرے گاؤں کے اندر انڈیا میں، ہمارے گاؤں کے اندر 1991 میں ہم نے ایک دارالعلوم قائم کیا ہے، تو ابھی تک انشاء الحمدللہ تقریباً 300 بچے وہاں زیر تعلیم ہے، تو اس کے تمام تر اخراجات اور ذمہ داری ادارہ کے ہے، تو انشاءاللہ آپ حضرات سے اپنے زکوٰۃ للہ، صدقات اور صدقۃ الفطرہ کی مود سے اگر اس ادارے کی تعاون فرمائے. امام غزالی رحمۃ اللہ نے اپنے احیاء میں ایک حدیث نقل فرمائی کہ جو آدمی اللہ کے راستے میں خرچ کرتا ہے، اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے دنیا سے رخصت ہونے کے بعد اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے مال کی بھی حفاظت فرمائیں گے. تو انشاءاللہ اگر ہم اس ادارے سے تعاون کریں گے تو انشاءاللہ اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کو اس کا اجر عظیم عطا فرمائیں گے. My respected brothers, I standing here before you appealing for Darulum that we have established in my village in India. It was established in 1991 and we've got approximately 300 children studying in there. And all the expenses from the boarding to the food, etc., has been taken care of by the Darul Uloom. So we humbly request you to support the Darul Uloom with your zakat, lillah, sadaqah, and sadqatul fitra. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all a great reward. Ameen. And I thank the Intizamiya for giving me the opportunity to make a collection today. Jazakullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah, after the remaining salah, we will have the fiqh of zakat presentation, very important topic of zakat. We should all sit to learn about the rules and regulations of zakat. So we have sisters can sit upstairs as well, inshallah. The presentation will be projected upstairs as well. So please do sit, please do benefit. Barakallahu feekum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inta salam minka salam tabarak ya dhul jalali wal ikram. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Brothers who finished their salah requested to come closer to the front, inshallah. Inshallah, it won't be a very long presentation, hopefully, inshallah. Please do sit and do benefit. Fiqh of zakat is a very important topic. साथी करीब करीब आ जाएं इंशाल्लाह. ब्रदर्स प्लीज कम क्लोजर टू द फ्रंट. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, inshallah I won't keep you for very long. And the reason I say this is because zakat can be a topic which people find it difficult to sit in for a very long time, because it's a lot to do with finances and things like this. But inshallah, we'll try and wrap it up in an hour presentation. All of the important discussions and all the important details in regards to zakat, inshallah, we'll try and cover in that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The people who, Allah ta'ala refers to the people who hoard their wealth and the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ. They hoard the gold and silver Allah has given them. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they do not spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the glad tidings of a terrible punishment, or give them the news of a terrible punishment which will afflict them. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His kindness has blessed us with wealth, then it is the right of Allah Ta'ala that we extract and we take out that which Allah Ta'ala demands us to take out from that wealth. And Allah has not made zakat a very difficult thing for us. Rather, it's very easy. And it's not something which is very burdensome, because from the wealth Allah has given us, from 40 parts of our wealth, we're only supposed to take out one part and give it to Allah Ta'ala. And this will be a means of zakat of the wealth. The word zakat literally means purification, to purify. That, do you want to take it a little bit more back there, I think, so it's more, so the sisters can see it more clearly. It literally means to purify, to cleanse. That the wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it becomes clean and pure for us to use and halal for us to use. And similarly, one of the meanings the ulama give to zakat is ribh, profit. That when a person gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spends from their wealth in zakat, Allah ta'ala creates barakah and profit in your wealth. You'll see your wealth flourish. And when someone doesn't take out the zakat, then unfortunately they will feel that they have no barakah in their wealth. Their wealth is always running short. They are always in financial constraints and in financial difficulty. So it's very important, my respected brothers and elders, that we take out the zakat of our wealth. I'm going to inshallah go through it quickly. But if anyone has any questions as we go along, feel free to ask inshallah. Just feel free to interrupt and ask. Any question that comes to your mind, whether it's on topic or off topic, doesn't matter inshallah. Zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, that bunya al-islamu ala khamsin. Islam is based on five pillars. The foundation of Islam is five things. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The belief and the testimony that there is none worthy of worship except for Allah Ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah Ta'ala's messenger. Wa iqami salah, establishing salah. Wa ita is zakah, to give the zakat. Wal hajji wa sawmi ramadan, and performing the hajj, and similarly fasting in the month of Ramadan. These are the five pillars of Islam. Once a person becomes a Muslim and they reach the criteria and the conditions, then all of the other four things are fard. So anything which is fard upon us, learning the knowledge of that or seeking the knowledge of that is also fard. If someone says, I didn't know I had to give zakat on this, like when we do the presentation, someone says, I didn't know this, I'm 30 years old, 40 years old, I didn't know this. We should have, it was our responsibility and our duty to learn the masail, learn the rules and regulations of this as soon as we reached the age of puberty. We should have known about all of this. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is fard upon every Muslim. And the ulama mention, the knowledge of those things which are fard, it is fard to gain that knowledge. Those things which Allah has made fard on us, obligatory on us, gaining the knowledge of those things is also fard. The things which Allah has made wajib on us, gaining the knowledge of those things is also wajib. So it's very important that we study. Unfortunately, our people don't know masail. I'm always getting messaged. That's why I said I'm going to keep, from the beginning, I said I'm going to keep it short, try and get as many people to sit. People are messaging me, people who come for salah, and then they will go, and then they will message me questions, and for years and years and years, they've been doing a simple action of Islam, and they've been doing it wrong. Similarly with the sisters, I get so many questions about menstruation. Allah, make it easy. You know, unfortunately, our sisters are clueless. Clueless. I'll tell you, Murna, what they say. The days that you see blood, you don't read salah. The days you don't see blood, you read your salah. Like there's no rules, there's no regulations they follow. If they see blood, they don't perform salah and they don't fast. And the days they don't see blood, they perform salah and they fast. And it's a total mess. So we don't know. And many of the salah is not being accepted or done. Many of the fasts are not being complete or not being performed correctly. So it's very important, I stress and I emphasize, that we need to learn knowledge. Our sisters listening upstairs at home, we need to learn the knowledge of the essential things of Islam. If I feel I don't know, I need to get the knowledge. I need to ask the questions. Don't be shy. There is no shy when it comes to deen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah Ta'ala is not shy from the truth. When it comes to deen, when it comes to knowledge of deen, when it comes to something which will be my salvation in the akhirah, my safety in the akhirah, I need to break that barrier of shyness. So elderly students sometimes come, I don't know how to recite Quran, I don't know how to do this, but I feel a bit shy. You've got to break the barrier of shyness, otherwise you'll sit there your whole life, I was shy, I was too shy to ask. And we didn't find out about many obligatory aspects of our deen. In the Sharia, it refers to the annual duty of a Muslim who possesses the zakat threshold, nisab, to pay 2.5% of certain types of wealth. So in Sharia, in Islam, zakat refers to, technically speaking, we can say, zakat refers to giving 2.5% of certain types of your wealth. It's very important. Not 2.5% of anything and everything. Right? So it's very important. What are the things upon which zakat is given? Inshallah, it will come. So we need to know those things. It has also, 2.5% is also the same as 1/40th of your wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the hadith, he mentioned 1/40th. Right? So obviously we translate that into our percentages as 2.5%. It has also been interpreted as a means to purify one's wealth by distributing a prescribed amount to the poor as a fundamental ibadah. There are 32 references to the word zakat in the Holy Quran and 15 references to sadaqah, which also includes zakat. Many times the word sadaqah has been used in the Quran. Famously, the long ayah in which Allah Ta'ala talks about the masarif of zakat. The people that you can spend your zakat on. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَادِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. So these are 8 or 9, you can say, masarif, places or people upon whom you can spend your zakat, who can take, accept zakat. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't use the word zakat. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ صَدَقَاتُ. So sometimes sadaqah and zakat are used interchangeably. Sometimes they use interchangeably. You use sadaqah to refer to zakat. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran many times connects salah and zakat to show the importance of zakat. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Many times Allah Ta'ala connects salah with zakat. Why? Because the ulama mention salah is a physical form of action, a bodily form of ibadah. It's a bodily, ibadate badaniya. That it's an action that a person does with their physically. And zakat is a mali ibadah, an action of worship which is done just from your wealth. That these are the only two types of worship. In well, obviously you have sawm as well, but sawm is more imsak. Fasting is more staying away. From the five pillars of Islam, from the four pillars, salah, zakat, sawm and hajj. Hajj is a combination of physical worship as well as monetary worship. Because you've got to physically do the rites of hajj and you've also got to pay for your hajj expenses, etc. And fasting is just staying away from things. You're not actually doing anything, you're staying away from food, drink and marital relations. But salah, the entirety of salah is a physical act of worship. And the entirety of zakat is a monetary act of worship. And that's why Allah Ta'ala connects many times in the Quran, salah and zakat, to talk about all the physical acts of worship and all the monetary. Anytime Allah Ta'ala wants us to physically do something, we must do it. Anytime Allah Ta'ala wants us to spend from our money, we must also spend. The parable, this few more ayat, virtues of giving zakat. The parable of those who spend their wealth in their way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 years and each ear has 100 grains. Allah Ta'ala increases manifold to whom He pleases. Meaning when we give zakat, Allah Ta'ala increases the reward. Allah Ta'ala magnifies in multitude, Allah Ta'ala increases the reward. Specifically in the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan is already so blessed. Everything already is buy one, get one free. And there's such a big discount Allah Ta'ala has given and such a big offers. So when a person gives a zakat in the month of Ramadan, there's inshallah a greater chance that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will increase the reward. That's why many of our people will come to that. When should you give your zakat? Whatever zakat you give seeking Allah's pleasure with it, it is multiplied by Allah. And it is such people who multiply their wealth. Take sadaqah, zakat out of your wealth through which you may cleanse and purify your wealth. Zakat is an act of worship, it's not a punishment. When a person gives zakat, he should give it happily. You know the famous hadith but Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a hadith in his Kitab al-Zakat. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a zakat collector, Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to collect the zakat of a certain person. And he looked at, and he was collecting the zakat on his livestock, on his animals. So he looked at his animals and he said, the only zakat from your animals is this old camel or something it was. He said, it's only this one. So the person giving the zakat said, I don't want to give this, because this camel's old, what are you going to do with it? It doesn't give any milk, you can't even ride it, it's of no benefit. So he said, I've got this camel, which is my best camel, I want to give that as zakat. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b said, look, your zakat is that small camel, the old one, the one that doesn't give milk. I don't know if I can take the really good camel from you. So the person said, look, I insist, because what are you going to do with that old camel? I'd rather give the best camel that I have, because that will actually be your benefit. So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not far away. Why don't we go and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this sahabi says, ya Rasulullah, your zakat collector Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu came to collect the zakat from me, but he wants to take this old camel. I don't want to give him that old camel, I want to give him my best camel. Because what are you going to do with the old camel? It doesn't give milk, you can't ride it, it's not fit for much use. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, look, your zakat is that old camel. You give that as your zakat. But on top of that, if you also want to give the other camel, you can give that, and that will be reward for you. And then the person said, ya Rasulullah, I'll give both of them. So he gave the old camel and he gave that camel as well. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for barakah in his wealth. So zakat is a means of cleansiness, purification. And the sahaba understood this. The pious people understand this. That give from the best of your zakat. So we shouldn't give from our zakat the most inferior things that we have. We should always try giving better things. Or we should try giving more money. And give more in charity. Because like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, charity takes away the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rab. Extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he prevents a person from a bad ending, a bad death. And so many calamities and so many problems are stopped because of sadaqah and zakat. One should look forward to paying zakat, as it will be a means of purification, blessing and great reward. When a difference of opinion occurs, the more cautious approach will be taken into consideration to ensure the duty of zakat is fulfilled with certainty. I might mention it, I might not, but there are certain places where the scholars say, look, you can do this or you can do that, you can do something else. So when it comes to choices that we are given, we should always go for the most cautious approach, because we'd rather be safe than sorry. Rather ensure our zakat is fulfilled than there are any questions raised about our zakat being fulfilled or not. That which is most beneficial for the poor will be applied when working with zakat. We'll get to that inshallah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever is made wealthy by Allah and does not pay zakat on their wealth, on the day of resurrection, their wealth will be made like a bald-headed, poisonous male snake with two black spots over the eyes. The snake will encircle his neck and bite his cheeks and say, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the holy verses, let not those who withhold of that which Allah has blessed them. To the end of the verse. So again, another warning on for not giving zakat. In one ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions another warning. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. That on the day of Qiyamah, people who didn't spend or give the zakat of their wealth will be boiled in the fire of Jahannam, and then they will be branded with that wealth on their foreheads, on their backs, on their sides. And it will be said, هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is the wealth that you saved for yourself. You didn't want to spend this in charity. You don't want to give zakat of it. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. Taste the experience of that which you saved for yourself. Okay, on whom is zakat obligatory? Zakat is obligatory on every sane adult Muslim person who has wealth which is beyond the nisab. Sane, a person shouldn't have any mental afflictions. Mental afflictions, we talked about in the fiqh of fasting as well. Any mental affliction absolves a person from fasting, from zakat, from salah as well. Because the person is not in control of their senses. They don't even know if they're in a state of purity. They don't know if they're doing the action correctly, incorrectly. So they're absolved. They don't have to do it. Adult. Adult is anyone who has reached the age of puberty. For a boy, for a girl, the minimum age of puberty is 9 years old. For a boy, the minimum age of puberty is 12 years old. If they see the signs of puberty after that age, then we will regard them as an adult in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the maximum age of puberty after which a child is an adult is 15 years of age. A boy or a girl who's reached 15 years of age, they are now an adult in the sight of Allah ta'ala. Whether the boy has seen the signs of puberty or not seen the signs of puberty, it doesn't matter. As soon as a boy and a girl reach the age of 15, they are now baligh. An adult in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that salah is fard on them, zakat is fard on them, hajj is fard on them, obviously if they meet the conditions for it. Muslim, obviously similar with everything else, zakat is going to be fard on a Muslim. If a person has the nisab, wealth according to the nisab, nisab is the threshold for zakat. It's going to mention here, inshallah. What is meant by nisab? So if you have a boy who's 15 years of age. So now he's 15 years of age according to the lunar calendar. Remember, according to the lunar calendar, which means according to the solar calendar, he'll be like 14 years and 6 months or something, 5 months or something. Because the lunar calendar, the days are less. So according to the lunar calendar, when the boy reaches the age of 14 and a half, let's say, and he has enough wealth which is equal to the nisab, the threshold of zakat, then he must give zakat upon that wealth. What is meant by nisab? The amount of wealth which makes one liable for zakat is called nisab. There are two types of nisab. The nisab of gold and the nisab of silver. Look, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, in terms of financial dealings used to happen with gold and silver. There were no copper coins and these kind of, or bank notes and things like that which we have now. So they had gold and they had silver. And the nisab was identical. Gold and silver nisabs were identical in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. There was no difference. In modern day, it's different. Modern day gold nisab is different to silver nisab. So modern day gold nisab is 87.48 grams of gold. And silver nisab is 612.36 grams of silver. So the two nisabs and the prices are very, the amount is very different. The gold nisab, I was checking this yesterday. The gold nisab of yesterday was £4,540.21. And the silver nisab just yesterday was £398.03. This was yesterday. Now there's two, they're very varying in terms of the rate, right? The silver nisab is very low, gold nisab is very high. Which nisab do you go according to when it comes to giving zakat? The scholars have a difference of opinion. Remember what I mentioned right at the beginning, there are times when there are differences of opinion, but what do we always go with? The most cautious one. Right? There are differences of opinion amongst the scholars, but we always go with the most cautious one, because this is safeguarding our deen, making sure that we're not doing anything wrong. Right? So the scholars will say there's a difference of opinion. Some scholars say go according to the gold nisab. But we say go according to the gold nisab, not everybody will give zakat, because not everybody will have that kind of money just lying around, £4,540.21. If you go according to the silver nisab, then people will be, much more people will give zakat. In that is more benefit. This is, like the scholars mentioned, أَنْفَعُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ, is more beneficial for the poor people. And there's more ihtiyat, and there's more cautiousness in this as well. You make sure that at least your zakat is fulfilled. So we go according to the silver nisab. So if a person has this amount of money, this was yesterday's rate. Remember, nisab rate changes every day. You have to check the rate on the day. I'm not sure what it is today, but it'll be very similar to this. So if you have that amount of money or wealth, according to that, we'll mention the things upon which you have to give zakat. If you have those things according to this amount of money, then you must give zakat upon that. And remember another thing, zakat is given on gold, zakat is given on silver. It'll come inshallah, I think. Yeah, it will come. Zakat is given on gold, zakat is given on silver, zakat is given on cash that we have. Right? Zakat is given on cash. And zakat is given on business stock, stock that we trade in. Zakat is given on that. There are rules and regulations about it. Anyone has any questions, you can ask as well. There's no point in me mentioning lots and lots and lots of furu'at, small masail, and people won't remember them. Inshallah, we'll just talk about the main points. Anyone has any questions, then please feel free to ask. So we will go according to the silver nisab. Now, when will we give our zakat? We must give our zakat on our zakat anniversary. See, that's another condition of zakat. That should have been mentioned at the beginning. I didn't make this PowerPoint, I'm just using somebody else's. That should have been mentioned at the beginning, that you will give zakat on that money, if you have according to the silver nisab, if that money, if it has been in your possession for one entire year. It has to be in your possession for one entire year. Now, throughout the year, if there is fluctuation. So the way it works is, you've got, let's read what it says here. The zakat anniversary is the date the first time a nisab is reached. Wealth must reach the nisab at the start and end of each Islamic year. Any increase or decrease that takes place during the year does not matter, as long as the zakatable assets do not reach £0. If wealth reaches zero, the anniversary will reset. So when's the first time zakat becomes fard? The first time I have enough money which reaches the silver threshold, the silver nisab of zakat. Now from now, and I'm a Muslim, I am mature, past the age of puberty, right? And I'm saying, now from now, this is my zakat anniversary. Next year at this time, I will once again check. If I have enough money, again, and I'm still over the nisab threshold, then I will give zakat. Now throughout the year, so let's say £398, most people will have that amount. But throughout the year, let's say somebody's money dropped, they had £200 only, or £100 only, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. According to the Hanafi madhab, Maliki madhab, it doesn't matter. Next year, same time, we will check, and if our wealth is still above the threshold of nisab at this moment in time next year, we will give zakat upon it. Right? Unless throughout the year someone lost all of their wealth, they were on £0. If they were on £0, now everything restarts. Now the next time they have enough money which goes over the nisab, that would be their zakat anniversary. Problem we have as Muslims, as a community, is people don't remember their zakat anniversary. People don't remember either because of laziness or negligence, or nobody told them, or whatever it was. People don't remember the first time it was that they had that amount of money upon which zakat was necessary. So what do we do in that case? The ulama mentioned, first thing you should do is sit down and try and get a rough estimate, that like approximate, when could it possibly be, just have a region of a month. I think it was possibly in the month of Sha'ban or in January of this year, whatever it was. So whatever your mind is pushing you towards, right, then you just go with that. However, if you can't even do that and you just got no clue, you don't even know where to start, then they say just fix a month. Just fix any month. Fix any month in the Islamic calendar and start from there. Just make that your zakat anniversary date. If you're not sure, you've got no clue, you've really thought about it, just fix any date. Something that will be easy for you to remember. Is that from outside, that smoke smell? Is it from outside? Acha. If a person cannot remember the date when they first reached the nisab, they should make as estimate. If an estimate cannot be made, then a date should be selected. This date should then be used each lunar year and does not have to be within the month of Ramadan. See, this point of Ramadan is important because a lot of Muslims, they give their zakat in Ramadan. And there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you know when your zakat anniversary day is. If you want to delay giving your zakat and give it in Ramadan, there's no harm with it. It'll come later, inshallah. But it's better to give zakat as soon as possible, otherwise the zakat still remains an obligation upon you. Or to either separate the zakat funds and to say to your wife or to say to your parents or to say to someone, these are my zakat funds. So inshallah, I'm going to give it time to time, certain charities which I find reliable, certain causes which I believe in, I'm going to give it to those causes. But if by any chance anything happens, this is my zakat fund here. So then your parents know, then your wife knows, or whoever it is knows. So even when you die, at least they can take that fund and then they can give it in as your zakat. It's very important. So there's no harm with Ramadan. And like I said, if somebody totally has no clue as to when their zakat anniversary date is, there's no harm with them fixing Ramadan. Because the month of charity, month of giving is easy to remember. Which type of wealth is zakat obligatory on? So we discussed this. Cash, in hand, in the bank, any currency, money owed due to loan or investments, Bitcoin. You've got to give zakat on Bitcoin. You shouldn't invest in Bitcoin. Bitcoin, unfortunately, is a very controversial subject. The scholars still cannot come to a point of agreement as to whether Bitcoin is permissible or not permissible. But if somebody did have this, we would give zakat upon it. But you should avoid investing in Bitcoin. Any form of investments we make, we should always refer to the scholars. Can I trade in this particular thing? Can I invest in this particular thing? It's always very important to refer to ulama if we're not sure as to whether it's permissible or not. People are making quick money. Somebody else looks at you and says, my friend's making quick money, let me just invest. Without actually asking questions. And many religious people fall into this. And they say, people are making money, I should be okay, we don't know much about it, we don't need to investigate. No, we need to scrutinize, investigate. Make sure that what we're doing is halal, our income is halal. Gold and silver, whichever form they are in. Gold and silver you must give zakat on, regardless of whether it's jewelry or whether it's part of some kind of ornaments or possessions or anything that has gold and silver, you must give zakat upon it. The item must be, however, if it comes to a gold item, let's say talk about jewelry, it must be 50% or more gold. If the item is 50%, you should have clarified this here. If it's 50% or more gold, then the zakat will be given upon the entire item. But if it's less than 50% gold, then you will calculate the amount of gold in the item and you will give zakat upon that. For example, look, they mentioned here 12 to 24 carat. 9 carat gold. 9 carat gold works out to about 37.5 grams of gold. 9 carat gold is about 37.5 grams of gold. So it's less than 50%. Now when it comes to someone has a 9 carat gold bracelet or ring or something, we're talking about women, men are not allowed to wear gold. Men are not allowed to wear gold. Women who have gold jewelry and they've got 9 carat, so they must take it to the jewelers and they must weigh the amount of gold which is in there and then they must give zakat upon that. Gold and silver, and if it's over 50%, like I said, 12, 18 carat, 24 carat, you don't really get 24 carat jewelry because that's like 100% gold, isn't it? 22 carat, I think, is maximum. So you must give zakat upon the entire item. Gold and silver plated items will not be zakatable. Something which is gold or silver plated, you don't give zakat. But there's another white gold. You have white gold. I don't know about rose gold. I'm not sure about the combination in rose gold. But if you have something which is white gold, then even white gold is like 75% gold. And the rest of it is like platinum and other metals. So again, you will only give, because it's 75% gold, so you will give zakat on the entire item. Merchandise for business, so stock, a person who has bought something to sell is very important here. Buying something to sell. Abdullah has bought this phone. Now he buys the phone purely with the intention of selling, he must give zakat upon that. If it, you know, he must calculate that and include it in the things that he will give zakat upon. If I buy something now, I buy my laptop now. I bought it to use, later I change my intention and I say, you know, I'm going to sell it. I don't give zakat upon it now. You only give zakat upon something that you've bought to sell. Not something that you change your mind and you just, you know, I'm just going to sell all the clothes in my house, I've got too many clothes. You don't give zakat upon them. Only something which is bought to sell. Similarly, the other way around, you bought something to sell. You bought something to sell, you must give zakat upon it. But if you change the intention that I bought this laptop to sell it, but I really like it, I think I'm just going to keep it for myself, now you don't give zakat upon it anymore. Is everyone understanding? Follow me. Jay, anything that you're confused about, feel free to ask. Any questions you have, feel free to ask. Sisters upstairs, Shama, if you can just ask the sisters if they have any questions, you can just message them downstairs, inshallah. Livestock. So livestock, you must give zakat upon livestock, animals. But we don't, ulama don't really discuss this as much. You have the details, but because we don't really deal with animals. For a farmer or something like that, they should find out the zakat that they must give upon that. Okay, money which is owed to you, what we call receivables. Something which you will receive. Now there's three types of what we call debt. Now, this is very important. Now the medium one, we can just, like, some scholars make it easy and they just put it into two types of debts. Reason for that is because the first type and second type is pretty much the same in terms of the hukam, in terms of the ruling. But here they mention there's three types of debt. Ad-dain al-qawi, ad-dain al-mutawassit, and ad-dain al-da'if. The strong debt, medium debt, and the weak debt. Strong debt is something upon which you have to give zakat. Similarly, medium debt, you will have to give zakat upon both of them. Like I said, ignore the medium debt, it's there, that's why I've said it. But otherwise, we just say this type of debt you must give zakat on. Which type of debt? You've, so here, zakatable assets that have been given on loan, i.e. cash, gold, silver. If you've given, I've given Askar Bhai £100 I've lent him £100, or £200, £300. Now when it comes to my zakat anniversary, I must include that £200, £300 that I've lent in my zakat calculations, even if it's £1 million. If I've lent him £1 million, that's still £1 million of my own money. So I will include that in my zakat calculations on my zakat anniversary date. That £1 million is still my money, I will give zakat on that. Unless, and this does happen, that's why I'm mentioning this. Unless you've given your zakat to someone and you've lent money to someone, they borrowed it, and you know, okay, that guy's not going to return it anymore. Especially a lot of our elders, they're in this situation, predicament. They money in Pakistan, different places, Bangladesh, and they give it to people and they just give up. That is, you have a strong feeling in your heart, this person is not going to return it, and you just stop, you don't bother asking. In that case, you don't give zakat on that. In that case, you treat that as it doesn't exist. When it comes back, if, let's say, they mashallah, miraculously, or Allah gives them hidayat, and they turn around and they give your money back to you, now you will give zakat from the day that you get it. Going forward, you will include that in your zakatable assets. You don't even have to backdate it. You don't even have to backdate it. Backdate means, the last few years that money existed, but that guy had it. You don't have to give zakat for those dates, because you gave up hope that this person is going to return the money. Does that make sense, everyone? So, zakatable assets that have been given on loan. Merchandise which has been sold and the payment is outstanding. That's with anything. Anything that you sell and the person has not yet, the payment is still outstanding, zakat must be given upon that. Zakat must be given upon that. Annually, you will give zakat upon it every single year until the person pays you. You will have to give zakat upon it every single year until the person pays you. People ask about jewellery and gold, gold and silver. I've only got this much gold, costs £1,000. I have to give zakat on that same £1,000 every year. I'm not even doing anything with it. It's not like it's increasing or anything. Doesn't matter. The fact that you have that means you have to give zakat upon it every single year. And another misconception that we found out about, people feel, and specifically for the sisters, people feel that when it comes to gold and silver, you calculate that separately to the money that you have. And in this way, many people don't pay zakat on their gold for a long time, because they say, oh, I've only got gold which has cost like £2,000, £3,000. So there's no zakat on that. And my money is calculated separately. And it's very dangerous. You've got to calculate zakat, your gold, silver, money, business assets, business stock, all of that together in one pot and give zakat upon the entire amount. It's very important. It's one pot. There's no separate things. I'm going to give zakat, but this one's separate, this one's separate, this one's separate. No, it's all together. As the individual, so that's strong debt and medium debt. I've just mentioned both of them. That's basically what it is. Anything that you've sold, whether you're a businessman and you sold some goods and you're outstanding the money which the person's supposed to pay you, or whether you're just a person who's, I've just sold my phone to Askar Bhai and I'm waiting for Askar Bhai to pay me. Now that money, I've given him the phone, so he's going to pay me, so I have to give zakat upon that every year. Weak debt. Now look, there's another point I'll mention here, which is an important point. With weak debt and strong debt and medium debt, money which is outstanding, I'm owed it, I should be getting it. Now, some scholars mention that with the medium debt, they mention you can give zakat when you get it. You can give zakat when you receive it, but let's say I've lent out a lot of money, I've lent out £1 million, I don't have that £1 million, I don't have anything near that £1 million on me, but I've lent out £1 million. Now to give zakat, £1 million is going to be hard for me, because I don't have that kind of money on me. So you can wait until that money is given back to you. You can wait. And in that case, if that money is not given back to you, If that money is not given back to you but passes away, inshallah, they will not be sinful for that as well. Because the money was not given to them, Allah Ta'ala is not going to make it put a bogh or a burden upon you that we cannot bear. Because it's £1 million of money. I've had a lot of people, especially nowadays, who don't want to mention. Nobody wants to show money, so everybody gives all the money out, so the money is not here. So when the money is all out everywhere, then a lot of people have a lot of money, and giving zakat on all that money, possibly it's, I can't bear that right now because I don't have enough to give zakat with that. So you can give zakat with that money returns as well. But if you can't bear it, I only lent Askar Bhai £100. I can easily give zakat on £100, £2.50. I can give zakat on that's £2.50. So I can give that, I should give it, it's safer, it's better. Otherwise I'll have this backdated, because when that money comes back, remember, when that money comes back to me, I'll have to give every year's zakat that I missed. If it's 5 years later, I'll have to give zakat for 5 years that I missed. Weak debt. Now weak debt is something upon which you will not give zakat. You will not give zakat upon weak debt. Examples of weak debt. Outstanding wages. Your employer needs to pay you, he hasn't paid you yet. He'll pay you inshallah, but he hasn't paid you yet, you don't give zakat on that. Rental income. Person has given a house for rent, or even a car for rent, or you know, people have car hiring agencies or something like that, and the money has not yet come in, then you will not give zakat upon that. Mahar, which is due to be received, in mahar, dowry, which is due to be received. A woman is waiting for her mahar, mashallah, many years is going by. £10,000 that was written on paper, and she's not seen a penny of that yet. So many years are going by. Now, if the dowry does not come to her, she does not have to give a zakat upon that. Inheritance. Someone's family members passes away and they have an inheritance share, but it's not been given to them yet. They know they're supposed to get a share. They even know the amount of the share they're supposed to get, but it's not come into their possession. They do not have to give zakat upon it. Zakat is only necessary once it is received and not for the previous years. Again, here, loan which one is certain they will never receive back. You don't have to give zakat upon it. So we have to backdate it. I can't even do calculations right now. Zakat on merchandise. In order for an item to be considered zakatable, the intention must be made at the time of purchase that the item is to be sold and not for personal use. I've already mentioned this, right? Inshallah. Yeah, I've already mentioned this. If anyone has any questions on specifically, you can ask. You know, any specific questions, I'm in a situation like this, but I've done this. It's always safer to ask. Okay, so when it comes to a businessman who is giving zakat upon his business stock, his business stock, he must give zakat upon the retail price, the market value. Let's say the market value. So it could be something which is second hand. I could be a second hand items dealer on eBay. I've got an eBay outlet and I sell second hand items. So I sell second hand phones. So now I will calculate that second hand price of that phone. What's the average price of that phone right now? Second hand, so I will calculate it according to that. And if it's brand new, then I will calculate it according to the brand new price. Dead stock which no longer has value, which no longer has a value, would not be zakatable at that moment. This is a very important point. Some people have dead stock. A person has bought a lot of things to sell. They've all gone off, you know, a lot of produce they bought, and now the date has gone. It's not even resellable. You can't sell it, right? It's not fit for resale. You can't sell it, so you will not give zakat upon it. Even if it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different items, you can't sell them, you will not give zakat upon them. Zakat is necessary on goods that are manufactured or in the form of raw material, ingredients, packaging. So it's a very important point. A tailor has a sheet of cloth, roll of cloth, or a person in the food industry has, you know, certain packages which is going to be used for packaging the food. If you can see that raw material on the final product, you must give zakat upon it. If you can see an effect on that raw material on that final product, you will give zakat upon it. There is no zakat on the property or fixtures and fittings of business. It's very important. You don't give zakat on the business property, business premises itself. You don't give zakat on fittings, fixtures, machinery which is used to build, manufacture your goods. You don't give zakat. Even if the machinery is very, very, very expensive. Certain businessmen have certain places, you know, they manufacture certain things. The machinery is very expensive, hundreds of thousands of pounds. But you don't give zakat on that. Case study, which assets are zakatable? Meat. Can you give zakat on meat? Ji? Do you give zakat on meat? This is a question. Can we give zakat on meat? If you bought it to sell it, if you bought it to sell it, all of these things if you bought to sell, right? Otherwise, if you just have meat at home, then you don't give zakat on that. Vegetables, salt, flour, chairs, cutlery, sugar, building, all of these things we don't give zakat on unless you bought them to sell them. Cash, do we give zakat on cash? Yeah. Delivery car, so that I'm using that for my business. But do I give zakat on it? No. Anything which you use, it's a cog in your business that it helps move your business, but it's not actually something that you are directly selling, you don't give zakat on it. Cash machine. No, you don't give zakat on the cash machine, even though you might use it as cash register in the shop. But it's like I said, it's an instrument that you use, it's not something that you give zakat on. Food packaging. Food packaging, we just mentioned it. Yes, if food packaging, you will give zakat upon. Tables and tablecloth. No, because again, these are things that are just used. Decorations, again, you bought them to sell them, you will give zakat upon it. Drinks, same point. Kitchen utensils, buying to sell, or just your regular kitchen utensils that you have at home, do you give zakat on them? No. No, you don't, right? What do you give zakat on? Gold, silver, cash, and things that you buy to sell. You don't have to give zakat on your knife and fork. Money which is owed. Do we give zakat on money which we owe to others? It's not mentioned here. Money which I owe to someone else. Do I give zakat on that? I have in my bank account, mashallah, I'm a very rich person, I have £100,000 in my bank account. Not me specifically, but let's say someone has £100,000 in their bank account. From those £100,000, maybe that's too big a number. So let's say £99,000 belongs to Askar Bhai. I'm just keeping the money for him, or I've borrowed it from him. It's Askar Bhai's wealth. I've borrowed it from him, it's somebody else's. Do I give zakat on money which is somebody else's? No. So money which I've borrowed from someone else, it didn't mention, you will not give zakat upon it. Anything which you borrowed from someone else, you will deduct that. At the end of the year, when you're calculating the things upon which you will give zakat, you will deduct anything that you have borrowed from anyone else. You will not give zakat on that. Borrowing from the bank. Yes, you will deduct that, but that is obviously haram. Any interest-based transactions are all haram. But you can deduct that. Allah, actually, you know, I'll have to check that one, inshallah. I'll have to check that one, inshallah. But on this point of banks, people ask about mortgages, people ask about university loans. Now, when it comes to university loans, so again, when it comes to borrowing from the bank, I think you will just deduct the capital, but you won't deduct the interest. You'll deduct the capital. So you borrowed from the bank, every year you're paying back a certain amount with interest. So you will deduct the amount that you're paying back the capital, not the interest, because interest doesn't have any value in Islam. It will be the same principle. That will be the answer. Because when it comes to university loans, this is a question which is quite frequently asked. That I've started university, I've taken out a tuition loan. How much is the tuition loan now? £9,000 a year, let's say. Is that roughly? Okay. £9,000 a year. So I've taken out a tuition loan. Now this tuition loan, once I have it, and right now I'm not paying anything back, I will give zakat on it because it's mine. Right now I've got this tuition loan in my bank account, nobody's asking for it back right now, I must give zakat on it, I must calculate it in my zakatable assets. However, when it comes to paying it back, now you pay it back on an annual basis, I think when you get to the threshold, is it 22 grand a year or something when you're earning? Something like that, Hamza. So when you're earning that kind of money, now you're paying a certain amount back every year. You will only deduct the amount that you are paying annually. Similarly with mortgage repayments. Again, mortgage, if there's an interest-based mortgage payments that we're making, that's also impermissible. So when it comes to making the repayments, we will not take into consideration the interest. We will only take into consideration the capital and that amount that we are paying back every year, the annual amount. Not the entire amount, the annual amount. I think that will come anyway, inshallah. Business assets. I'm going to quickly go through this. I want to... A lot of business, if people have any questions about business, you can ask me later, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on things which don't apply to everybody individually. Okay, so here. So bills, you can deduct bills. Which bills can you deduct? Bills which you've already incurred, like, you know, council tax bill has come in, your gas bill has come in, water bill has come in. So you can deduct them from your zakat payment. You can deduct those kind of things. Not future bills. Not bills which you're anticipating for next year. Right, you can't deduct them. Long-term debts that are to be paid off in installments, such as mortgage payments, we just mentioned this now. You just deduct the annual amount. Similarly, someone I've borrowed, you know, a big sum from someone, and I'm paying them back every year. Okay? Then I will only deduct the zakat of every year. But if it's an amount of money that I'm expected to pay back in one lump sum, then I will deduct the entire amount. £5,000. For some people, that's a lot of money. For some people, that's less money. Now, let's say I'm someone who can pay that £5,000 back in one go, and I'm expected to do so, then I can deduct the entire £5,000 from my zakatable assets. Short-term debt already owed will be deducted from zakatable assets. These things you can't deduct from your zakatable assets. Future expenses and bills. Interest, it's been clarified here. Any interest I've mentioned as well. You only deduct the capital, not the interest. Because interest doesn't have any value in the sight of Allah. That's a sin that you've incurred upon yourself. You're not going to deduct that from your zakat. Income gained from unlawful means of sale of alcohol, lottery tickets, etc. Someone who sold something haram and they gained money for it, you cannot deduct that from your zakatable assets. Such wealth must be given in charity without intending any reward. Anyone who has any haram money, impermissible money, interest, this and that, you must give it to poor people. Don't give it to the masjid. But this boy in Oldham, this young lad, he was, unfortunately he had some bad habits and he had a lot of money left over. And then he was asking me, well, can I just give it to the masjid? And I think he even started to give it to the masjid. I said, no, you can't give it to the masjid. It's very dangerous. This money you have to give into the hands of the poor people. You give it to non-Muslims as well. That money you can give to non-Muslims as well if it's a valid cause. But just get rid of it and don't give it the intention of reward. You're not going to get reward for it. You're just trying to clean your hands of it. Better than throwing it in the bin. Shares and pensions. So zakat on shares and pensions. Now there's two types of shares. You can either buy a share with the intention of a quick resale, or you can buy a share with the intention of long-term, say, or with the intention of dividends that you get from the share. Now if you bought zakat, or if you bought a share for quick resale, then you must give zakat on the price of that share, on the value of that share, market value of that share. Because the market value of that share will be established. You bought a share to sell, so you know how much it costs. The market price. So you will give zakat on the market price. If you bought a share for dividends, now this is a bit more technical. You bought a share for long-term investment. Now scholars have discussed it. If you bought a share for long-term investments, then you will give zakat on 25% of that share. You will give zakat on just 25% of that share. Why? This is Muthi Faraz Adam from Leicester's research. That he did research into the 100 top financial companies. The top 10 financial companies. He did research into them. And he mentions that about 66 of those companies. 66 of those companies were Sharia compliant. Sharia compliant means that you can invest in them. It's halal to invest in them. It's permissible to invest in them. And the ones that were Sharia compliant, permissible to invest in, from his research, he gathered that because look, when you invest in shares, then you're investing in a company. Now, a company is a building, a company is equipment, a company is lots of different things. It's not just cash, right? A company is a whole entire setup of things. So, the safest thing with shares is this. I'll mention if anyone's invested in shares. The safest thing is to go through the whole portfolio of the share that you've assessed, invested in, to check how much percentage of that is going towards the cash or the direct income, and how much percent is going towards other things. But that's quite hard for some people. So that's why Muthi Faraz, he did the research and he said that 66 of the companies were Sharia compliant. They were Sharia compliant. I think 66, I think he said. And all of the Sharia compliant companies, the money that was invested directly into the cash or the things that you would give zakat upon, the business assets and things like that, it was around 25% or less than 25%. So he's given a proxy. That if you invest in shares, just give zakat on 25% of the share itself. And the other 33 businesses that he researched, financial institution companies, he mentioned that they were not even Sharia compliant. So he didn't take them into consideration. So that's why he's given the proxy as 25%. Mufti Zubair Butt from Bradford, who's also done a lot of research into this, he mentions it's safer to give zakat on 40% of the share. But we have this option, a person can go with whichever is safer. If a person has done the research themselves and they're happy with what they're giving zakat upon, that's also fine. But otherwise we can take one of these two proxies and give zakat upon that. So, pensions. Broadly, two types of pensions. You have a defined benefit contributions, defined income schemes, and defined defined contribution, something like this. Two types of pensions. One is the pension which you don't have to do anything. It's like a state pension. Like you retire and then there will be some pension given, and a small amount of it's taken from your salary. And another one is the employer's contributions. And what happens with that is your wealth which is invested. So the one which is like a state pension, you do not give zakat upon it, you only give zakat upon it when you receive it after you retire. You only give zakat starting from now and you don't backdate anything. And the one which is like an investment that your employer has made, they will tell you, they will show you. Now that you must give zakat upon it every year. You must give zakat upon that every year. Sorry, I conflated something there. I mis-mentioned something. So, I think the shares was fine, inshallah. The shares was fine. If anyone has a question about shares specifically, ask me, because this is information I'm remembering from my head. But when it comes to the pension fund, it's actually 25%. So here it mentions 25% or 26%. Again, Mufti Zubair Butt mentions 40% you can give here as well. 40% is safer. To give, take zakat out from 40% of your pension that has been invested. Inshallah, you can ask me about this later, inshallah. And if it's something I'm unclear about, inshallah, research it. Acha, in conclusion, we must, when it comes to calculating our zakat at the end of the year, we must take into consideration gold, silver, cash, any business, stock, merchandise, shares, pensions, obviously the value of the shares, pensions that were mentioned, loans which were owed to us by others. We must minus the debts which we owe to other people. And then the entire pot, this is our zakat pot. And then we must give zakat on 2.5% of the total of that. Now who can we give zakat to? Who can we give zakat to? So there are masarif of zakat which have been mentioned in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the famous ayat like we recited before, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So these are the people who you can give zakat to. But in general, we give zakat to poor people. People who are not above the threshold of zakat. So there's two conditions that must be met. I think he brought a graph here. Let's just do it with this graph, it's better. When you give zakat to someone, there's two conditions that they must meet. When you give zakat to someone, there's two conditions that they must meet. First of all, they must be someone who is not giving zakat. Basically, they must not have enough wealth which is above the threshold of zakat themselves. Secondly, they must not have a lot of things which are above and beyond their needs at home. So let's say they've got 5 cars. So in terms of their bank account, they've got less than zakat. Let's say they've only got £200 in their bank account. But they've got 5 cars. Now that's above and beyond their needs. One car is essential, a person needs it, you know, it's an essential thing. But 4 extra cars, this is above and beyond your needs, you cannot give zakat to that person. So you have to assess that, you have to ascertain that, you have to investigate. So it's very important to scrutinize, where is our zakat going to? We can't, you know, sometimes we give zakat to wakils, representatives. Someone who is going to give zakat on my behalf, an organization, a charity. You can't give zakat only if you are sure they're going to get it to the poor people. Because what happens is, if you give it, look at this, I'll give you an example. If you give zakat to an organization, and the job of the organization is to get your zakat to the right people, into the right hands, but the organization keeps it in his bank account, and then the building burns down, and your zakat funds are lost, not bank account, let's say they keep in the safe, or whatever else, and your zakat money is lost. Your zakat is not fulfilled, you must give your zakat again. You have to give your zakat, because that was a wakil, someone who you entrusted that amount to. If it was lost in their possession or burnt down or some natural calamity took place, then your zakat is still upon you, you must give it. So that's why it's very important to make sure I ascertain that the zakat is going to the right person. But again, when it comes to ascertaining, I might mention here, inshallah, I'm skipping some things just to keep it short, that you have to just do your best. You don't have to do a thorough investigation, show me a bank statement, show me this, show me that. Just do your best. Try and investigate to the best of your ability, ascertain to the best of your ability, and then you give it. It's like the famous hadith of Sayyidina, what's the hadith? The two Sahaba, one Sahabi gives zakat to his father. لَكَ مَا نَوَيْتَ يَا لك ما أخذت يا يزيد ولك ما نويت يا معن. Sayyidina Ma'an ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu, the Badri Sahabi, he was fought in the Battle of Badr, his father fought in the Battle of Badr, his grandfather fought in the Battle of Badr, famously known for this. All three Sahaba fought in the Battle of Badr. Sayyidina Ma'an radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in need, he was financially struggling. So one night he was on the outside and his father Yazid was taking out his zakat money to give to someone. And it was night time and he went out and the father, without realizing, he gave it into the hands of his son. So in the morning they woke up and they brought this case to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laka ma nawaita ya Yazid wa laka ma akhadta ya Ma'an." Oh Yazid, you made the intention of giving zakat and you did your best to try and ascertain who you giving the zakat to, the eligible person. Now it's gone, your zakat is done. So from this we understand that as long as you do your best to ascertain, and many, you know, later you find out somebody says, "Oh, you know, this person, they cheated you, they deceived you, they lied, and you know, they were hiding money or whatever." As long as you did your due best, and then you give the zakat into the hands of the person, inshallah, the zakat is fulfilled. Is that okay? What did I miss here? Okay, so this, you know, when we say above and beyond your needs, I said a person who has above and beyond their needs, you do not give zakat upon that. What is counted as above and beyond needs? So these are necessary assets. These are needs. Clothes that a person has. You see someone wearing Armani jumper and, I don't know, Hugo Boss trousers. Very expensive jumper and trousers. But these are his daily clothes that he's wearing. You're not going to say, "Oh, this person has above and beyond needs." Above and beyond needs is where you have lots and lots of extra things that are just lying around in your house. Person has a wardrobe filled with clothes. Right, different forms of clothes. And if you calculate all of that, it will take them above the zakat threshold. They don't have to give zakat. That person doesn't have to give zakat, but they cannot receive zakat. Is everyone with me, inshallah? They cannot receive zakat. Household goods, utensils. Someone using very expensive knife in the kitchen, or very expensive blender, or very expensive fridge to put their food in. You know, you will not count them as above and beyond someone's needs. You go to someone's house, once they were doing very well for themselves and now they're struggling financially. You go to their house, very nice, big house, nice sofa, very nice bed, you know, very nice flooring. These things you don't take into consideration when it comes to not giving zakat to someone. Because these are essentials now. This is what this person is essential. He's living under this roof. He's sleeping on that bed. He's sitting on that sofa. These are essentials which you not calculate. When you go to someone's house, our scholars used to mention this. Mufti Inayatullah Sabah Ustad would mention this. That if you go to someone's house and they've got lots of televisions, a lot of TVs, a lot of games, a lot of all this stuff, and then that person cannot give zakat to. Even their bank account, they have less than threshold, nisab threshold, because all this is fuzul, it's entertainment. It's not things which are required, so you cannot give zakat to that person. Similarly, any debts which they owe, and that's very important as well. And scholars mention this as a leeway as well for certain other things. But someone who owes, has a debt which is upon them. Someone who has a debt which is upon them, so they might have a lot of money in their bank account, but the debts that they have are far greater than what is in their bank account, they can receive zakat. Acha, for zakat to be valid, it is necessary that the individual who receives the zakat gains total ownership. Was known as tamliq, that you have to make the person the owner and is free to do as they like with that wealth. So from this principle, can we give zakat to a masjid, madrasa, orphanage? We can't. It has to become, the poor person has to become the malik of that wealth. Look, you can give zakat in cash, you can give zakat in kind. You can give zakat as, let's say a poor person is struggling and they need medicine, but they don't have enough money to buy medicine. You can buy the medicine and make them the owner of that. You don't have to give them the money to buy medicine. As long as you've made them the owner of that, it's fine. Right, but you've got to make them the owner. It can't be something general. Or it can't be something where the eligible recipient for zakat is going to benefit and the non-eligible one is also going to benefit. Like let's say I give my zakat funds to a madrasa in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. There's a lot of poor people or poor students. But there's certain students who are not poor as well. Now I give my zakat funds there hoping that the, you know, madrasa authorities will use that money to feed the students. Now there'll be certain students who are eligible to eat that food and certain students who are not. So now you cannot give your zakat in those places where there's a mix of the recipients. Can zakat be used to fulfill debts of a deceased person or their burial? No, why not? Even if that person was eligible for zakat his whole life, once he dies, you cannot give zakat to a dead person because he can't become the owner of it. When someone passes away, they can't become the owner of something, so zakat cannot be given to them. Can zakat be given... Oh, Hafiz Idris asked a question, he's gone, I think. Okay, so it's for the purpose of the event. So how is this question? There'll be parents who are preparing for their son or daughter's marriage and accumulating gold for the occasion. The gold has not yet been given to the bride as the wedding has not yet occurred. Who is responsible for paying zakat on this? The parents or the son or the daughter? If the parents have not made the daughter the malik of that gold. Someone phoned and asked me this the other day, same question. But they asked it differently. He's asked this differently. I'll explain both scenarios. Hafizam is asking the question, parents have bought gold. Their intention is to give it to their daughter at the time of marriage, but they've not given it to her yet. Many times she doesn't even know they have it. Now that's the parents' job to give zakat on that. The sister who phoned me the other day, she asked the question that the parents have bought gold for the daughter. They've even said to the daughter, it's your gold. We're just holding on to it for safekeeping. But it's yours. Now if the tamliq, the ownership is found and she knows there's no barrier between her taking the gold from her parents, then that is her gold, she will give zakat on it. So it's very important to draw lines. Very important to draw lines. You must mention that. You've got to become clear. If there's no clarity, you've got to ask questions. Even if you're shy and you're not sure, ask questions. Is this mine or is this yours? You know, sometimes people give it as borrowing. And when the divorce happens, they say, give our gold back. I've seen this happen as well. That when the divorce happens, they say, give the gold back. Now, in that case, obviously in their mind, they felt that they had lent the gold to you. As long as you are a bride, we'll make you walk, you know, wear the gold. And as when you go, then you have to give the gold back. In that case, she doesn't become the owner, so she doesn't have to give zakat. So let it become clear. Similarly, if you have a savings account, husband and wife. Savings account, a common thing nowadays. Husband, wife, a lot of families, husband, wife both working, putting their money into a joint account, using it to pay for things. Now it has to become clear, there has to be a line drawn. Okay, 50% is mine, 50% is yours. Which means I give zakat upon 50%, you give zakat upon 50%. And zakat cannot be given by one person for another person unless the person actually authorizes it. Right, they have to authorize it. If I want to give zakat for my wife, I have to first ask her, I'm going to give your zakat, is it okay if I give you a zakat? She says, yes, you can give my zakat, give zakat. Otherwise, it's her response, it's her fariḍah, it's her obligation. If I didn't give it for her, I wouldn't be sinful. Obviously, I should, as the father or as the one who is responsible in the home, I should educate my wife, I should educate my children, but it's not my job to take out zakat for her and to take out zakat for my children who are past the age of puberty and who have enough savings. Any questions you can ask, inshallah. Can zakat be given to dig a well? No, because it's a public project, it's a welfare project. So these kind of projects you cannot give zakat for. It has to go into the hand of the poor person. Can zakat be given to a hospital? No, unless a hospital has a condition. You do have certain hospitals in Syria, you know, in certain places where, you know, Muslims are going through a lot of suffering. Allah grant ease to all the Muslims in all the world. So anyone who is, where there's a hospital that say we are only taking in people who are eligible recipients of zakat, 100%, nobody else benefits from this medication, then no problem, you can give zakat there. But obviously this, you have to be very careful, because if it's not the case and you give it, then your zakat is not going into the right hands. Zakat cannot be given to one's child, grandchild, great-grandchild and so on. You cannot give zakat to your children onwards. Similarly, you cannot give zakat to your parents onwards, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents and so on. You can't give zakat to your spouse. Husband cannot give it to wife, wife cannot give it to husband. Banu Hashim, Hashimi. So anyone who is from the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, so is a Sayyid from Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, or anyone who is from Ali radiallahu anhu's family without actually being a Sayyid as such, meaning that they call Alawi, they call them Alawis. Someone who is connected by blood, an ancestry to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you can't give zakat to them. Anyone whose family lineage goes up to Sayyidina Ja'far, Sayyidina Aqil, Sayyidina Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib, he was in a Sahabi. So you can't give zakat to any of them. A person who does not have the nisab of zakat but has goods beyond their essential needs which reach the value of nisab. You can't give zakat to them, we mentioned, right? Okay, there's some frequently asked questions. We'll just quickly do that and then I think that'll be the end of the presentation if anyone has any more questions. If an object contains a mixture of metals including gold or silver and the gold or silver is more than the other metals, the entire object will be regarded as gold or silver and zakat will be fard. So like I said, more than 50% gold or silver, you give zakat on the whole amount. If less than 50% gold or silver, then you only give zakat on the amount of gold or silver in that. Zakat should be distributed as soon as possible, at the very latest within one lunar year of the calculation date. You should try to give your zakat as soon as possible. Like I said, there's no harm in holding it in a pot, but separate it. Because as soon as you make the intention to separate that zakat, now that zakat has, you know, that's the zakat funds. You can't use that for anything else. So separate it, keep it clear. Zakat needs to be paid on jewelry every year. It is not the case that if one has paid it once, they don't need to pay again. I mentioned this. Person has a few intentions, a landlord, property owner. They have a few intentions. Again, anyone who has a car hiring agency or anything which they hire out. Now you don't give zakat on, even though you own those items, you don't give zakat on them. You only give zakat on the rental income that you make, or the income that you make from renting out the item. If I have kept some money aside to fulfill my duty of Hajj, do I need to give zakat on this? Yes, you must give zakat on this. Like I said, any lump sum that you have, you must give zakat upon it, unless it's actually tied into a direct, what's it called, direct expense. Like you, builder's done some works, extension, loft extension, whatever the extension, and it's going to be £10,000, £20,000. So you've saved that money to pay the builder, and it's tied into a direct work, ongoing work. Then you don't give zakat on that. Can zakat be paid in advance? You can give zakat in advance. It's a very important question. You can give zakat before the date of zakat even comes. You can give zakat. You can give zakat many years in advance if you want, and every year you can just deduct that amount. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But obviously, you have to be careful, because then you can lose track of your calculations. Is there zakat on diamonds, precious stones, pearls, diamonds, any form of precious stones, rubies, regardless of how expensive they are, how much monetary value they have? You don't give zakat on them. You only give zakat on gold and silver. I have kept some money aside for my children's weddings. Yes, you must give zakat on this. Right. I have some interest money in my account. Do you give zakat on interest? No, you don't give zakat on interest. Interest is haram. You just get rid of it. It doesn't exist. Is intention necessary for giving of zakat? Yes. But do you have to say to the person you're giving zakat, I'm giving you zakat? No, you can just say as a gift as well. And remember, zakat, ideally zakat should be given to family members. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَبَدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُولُ. When you give in charity, always start with those who are your dependents, those who are closest to you. الْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ. Closest to you in terms of family. Go ahead, Abdullah. Yeah, inshallah, I can send this. I'll have to confirm with those who made it, if I can just distribute it freely. No problem. It's finished anyway. It's finished. Literally finished. End of. Yes, so, I forgot which point I mentioned. You don't have to say to the person that you're giving zakat to. You can say as a gift. And because most of the time we should try and give zakat to those who are family members, siblings that we might have, uncles, aunties in certain countries who might be in need, or even in this country. Zakat eligible, you can give zakat to them, but you don't have to mention that this is zakat. You can just say as a gift, as long as your intention is zakat. My husband gave me jewelry on my marriage. Who is liable for zakat, me or my husband? You, the woman, the wife. Why? Because it's hers now. Unless the husband said you're only borrowing it. As long as you remain. If zakat is being given for multiple outstanding years, items will be evaluated at their current market price. Items will be evaluated. So if you're giving zakat, let's say on gold, rings and things like that, for multiple years, so 5 years ago, possibly that price of that ring 5 years ago was different to what it is now. You will give zakat on it now. So that's very important as well. If you backdate your zakat, you must give the according to the value of today. What's the market value of today on that item? Zakat is not necessary on gift vouchers. So any questions, inshallah? That's just the PowerPoint. Already taken longer than I said. Any questions anyone has? Go on, clear.
You might have mentioned this before, gold. When our sisters or family wear gold, they're saying you don't have to actually pay the card on the one they wear, and you're not like similar to other items which they use. What's your...
See, look, in the Hanafi madhab, all of these fatah... The problem nowadays we have is people taking knowledge online. They're taking knowledge from online. It's a very important point. Uncle Ali asked this because the person who's saying this, that knowledge has been taken from online. Because in other madhahib, in other madhabs, in certain other schools of thought, you don't give zakat on the jewelry that you're wearing. In the Hanafi madhab, you give zakat on what you're wearing, and there's hadith to support it. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a girl came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi siwarani min dhahabin. She was wearing bangles of gold. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتُؤَدِّيَانِ زَكَاتَهُمَا. Have you given zakat of this? And then they said, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, this is going to be something which will burn you in the fire of Jahannam. And then they gave them as gold. So obviously they were wearing it. So we have dalil for it, evidence for it, everything. But people just find some knowledge online, some information online, and then they mention, sorry, I'm not having a go at you personally. I'm just saying this form of question, the way the question is presented. You have to give zakat on gold and silver. Whether you wear it, whether you wear it every day, whether you never take it off, you still have to give zakat upon it. Hamza. Yeah, so committee, so you've invested certain money in a committee. Now you're given a certain amount, you're giving a certain amount every year. So you know what your capital is. You have to give zakat on your capital because it's your money. And when you get that money back, then that becomes a big pot and you must give zakat upon that big pot, obviously. You must include that in your zakat expenses. And before that, you just give zakat on your hissa, your portion, because that's your money. It's like investing it in something. Any other questions? How much gold? 84.7 something grams. I'll just check it. Just said it there, I think.
Yeah, Uncle's got a question. He's saying that there are four partners in the company, and then one of them is Muslim, for example, and the other three don't pay. How do you work that one out? Because he's paying tax again.
Is this brother 87.7848? Okay. Two questions there. The first one is, you have a business where you have multiple partners. Now each partner has to give the share, the zakat on their own share. So you have four business people. Pays tax, so he will deduct that.
When you take the money from the company, you have to pay the tax.
So I think the question is, when you take the money as a profit,
you will have to give zakat on it. So the tax is something separate. You don't include the tax in yours. You can minus that, you deduct that.
I pay 22 pounds for the government first. Then I pay on the balance of the credit.
You pay on the balance that you have left, zakat. That's the second part of it. The first part of it, you deduct the tax that you pay and you give zakat and the rest. Now someone running a school, again, it's about the person. If the person who's running the school is zakat eligible himself, doesn't matter what projects he's doing, if he himself is zakat eligible, then zakat can be given to him. But just because he's running a school, we can't give zakat to him. School.
They have children who come who are eligible for zakat, and they don't charge any fees or anything.
You can't give your total amount there unless it's specified that that person is going to give your zakat fund specifically to those people who are zakat eligible. You can't just give it generally, yes, use it. Because then some people, zakat eligible children, are using it, and some non-zakat eligible. So you can't give it like that, but there's a mix. Any other questions? Kamza? Able to add it all up. Sorry, I didn't get the question. Annually.
And now, can I add up all my student loan that I've taken in the government and then pay just the whole
pot? So, look, when they give you that zakat, when they give you the student loan, now that's your money. You have to give zakat on that. Right, you've got to give zakat on that. We're talking about deducting from zakat. So when you're paying your zakat every year, things you can deduct, bills, money that you owe to other people. So you can deduct the 1 year's student loan payments that you're going to make. You can deduct that. That's what we're talking about, deductions. Otherwise, yeah, if they've given you a lot of money and said, this is yours, you're going to pay it back to us later, but this is yours for now. They made you the owner. You've got to give zakat on that. Inshallah, inshallah. Any other questions? Is it okay? Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us ability to practice upon this. Yeah.
Wo wapas bhi nahi de
اگر واپس نہیں دے رہا ہے اپنے بالکل مطلب امیدیں بھی ہرا دی کہ وہ واپس نہیں کرے گا تو پھر اس پہ زکوٰۃ نہیں ہے, لیکن اگر واپس کر دے تو پھر اس تاریخ سے زکوٰۃ اس پہ ضروری ہوگا, فرض ہوگا. He bought to sell. He bought to sell. Yeah, then he'll give according to market value on that date. JJ, 250. Zakat is fulfilled. Zakat is fulfilled. You don't have to repay that. No problem.
What percentage is Zakat? 2.5%.
2.5%.
And.
Ask her, please tell them. Michael, please.